If you need to contact Narcotics Anonymous or are interested in our sponsorship Behind the Walls program, please contact ARSC Regional H&I, P.O. Box 1351, Phoenix, Arizona 85001. NA literature can be found on the tablets in the Adovo app by searching for Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous does not endorse and is not affiliated with the tablet manufacturer, the software, or the institution.
Welcome back to another recovery discussion put on by the Arizona Regional Hospitals and Institutions Committee. My name's Ryan, I'm an addict. Today I have Matthew with me. We've been wanting to get Matthew on here. He does a lot of the editing of these recordings that we do, and we really wanted to get him on here so he could participate as well. So today, the topic that we kind of wanted to discuss was what I like to call the recipe for recovery. You might have been in meetings before, maybe you haven't, and this is a new time hearing about it, but it's been told to me that there's certain things that you do when you're in recovery that give you the best chance of success. And I like to call that the recipe for recovery. So there's five things. Matthew, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. I'm an addict. My name is Matthew, and I'm just grateful to be here.
Well, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
The first thing we want to ask you about, your experience with these five things. The first one being meetings. Can you tell us about meeting attendance and what meetings mean to you?
Absolutely. And I love that, you know, recipe for recovery. I've also heard keys for success. You also will hear the five suggestions. And these are the things that are near and dear to me and my recovery. And the first one being meetings. You know, before I went into recovery, I had no concept of what a 12-step meeting of Narcotics Anonymous was about. So I didn't know what to expect when I showed up there. But at the end of the day, what we're doing there is trying to get one more day clean. And the feeling of being able to walk into a room filled with love and laughter and other addicts all trying to get the same thing, which is just one more day clean, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, my foundation for recovery began by going to meetings. You know, we have sayings around here of like, go to a meeting your first day out and then go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And that for me is what really set me up for success, because the next things within the keys to success or the recipe for recovery, in my opinion, all start based on meetings. You know, going to a meeting, meeting other people, raising my hand and introducing myself as somebody new is one of the things that we do to show our willingness, to show our open-mindedness to recovery. And to this day, I go to tons of meetings. Wherever I travel, I try to go to meetings wherever I go so that I can further build my base, because that, in my opinion, is where that foundation starts. I can't imagine what my life would look like today without going to meetings like I did when I first got clean and still do to this day. You know, for me, a meeting a day keeps the doctor away, keeps the relapse away, if you will, you know, like, and that sounds corny at times, but for somebody like myself, it's truthful, because every single day that I go to a meeting, I'm around other people that love me. And I love those people, and I'm developing a sense of community. I'm developing a sense of security. I'm developing a sense of self as an addict in recovery. And to me, that all starts from that first time of walking into a meeting. So we always recommend get to a meeting that first day out. Don't worry about tomorrow's meeting. Worry about today's meeting. And getting to that meeting as soon as we get out is so important to start cultivating the roots that will take hold for your recovery.
All right. So From your experience, or say there was someone who's never been to a meeting and they're thinking about going, what would you tell them? What would you suggest to them? What would you recommend they do when they get there? What to look out for?
Absolutely. So, I'll fully admit walking into a meeting for the first time, it can be intimidating. It can be kind of scary, honestly. Walking in somewhere that I never had any experience with brought up some fear, brought up some confusion, brought up, a lot of feelings. But the best thing that I would recommend, and the thing that I did is I walked in and I said, I'm new. And that's still the thing I do to this day. If I go to a meeting in another area or another region or another state, I'll walk in and say, I'm an addict. My name's Matthew. And hey, this is my first time at this meeting. And it feels uncomfortable at first, and it feels awkward at first, but it felt uncomfortable and awkward for every single one of us. So walking in there and showing that willingness and showing that open-mindedness to get comfortable with the uncomfortable is so vital, especially early on. And the reality is that nobody in those meetings is actually scary. Nobody in those meetings wants anything other than to help love and support somebody, especially a newcomer, especially somebody that's brand new to recovery. So the best thing that I can recommend is to get there, introduce yourself, and always, most meetings, I won't say all, but most meetings have phone lists, which is a collection of numbers of members from that home group who are more experienced in recovery. And the best thing to do is ask for one of those. And when you ask for one of those, then you've got some contacts. And that's how we develop in recovery. Because at the end of the day, just going to meetings isn't going to keep me clean. It might keep me abstinent for a little while, but I'm not going to truly develop in recovery until I start branching out beyond simply just going to meetings.
All right. What I would say is don't hesitate to stand up and get that key tag, that white
Yes.
key tag. You know what I mean? That's how you let people get to know you, and more people are apt to approach you and introduce themselves to you if you actually stand up and get that white key tag. And I know it can be an obstacle to overcome, not wanting to step up and actually say, "Hey, I'm so and so, I'm new here," but doing it really lets people know who you are. And it opens the doors for you, so.
And I would build off of that. And if you are brand new and you have one day clean or even just the desire to stay clean, you don't just stand up for that first white key tag. You do that for 29 straight days. And you introduce yourself as a newcomer from 0 to 29 days. And as you do that, it allows people to see who you are. It as Ryan said, it allows people to know that you're new there. And we always talk about the newcomer is the most important person at any meeting. So that then shows other people, hey, this is somebody that we should talk to. This is somebody that we should help try to get them set up in this recovery journey. And that's kind of what we do. It's a beautiful thing, man.
All right. So that's the first ingredient, meeting attendance. We're gonna go into the second, which is for me would be sponsorship. What's your experience with sponsorship?
Well, sponsorship is the heartbeat of the program, as it says in our literature. Sponsorship is how this program comes alive. We are a 12-step program, and we work those 12 steps with a sponsor, period. We cannot work the 12 steps without a sponsor. So a sponsor is one of the probably the most important thing, probably the most important ingredient that we sprinkle in this recipe, honestly, because it is what really allows our recipe to take form. And a sponsor is a man or woman, depending on what your gender is, who is there to help guide us through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. That is what a sponsor does. And sponsorship is one of the most valuable things that I've ever participated in my life, both in my relationship with my sponsor and also in my relationship with my sponsees. Because we say in, you know, the literature that we can only keep what we have by giving it away. And so my sponsor keeps what he has by giving away his experience, strength, and hope to me. And then I'm able to do the same to people within, you know, that I sponsor. But I'll say, you know, it can be scary when the thought is, I got to find a sponsor. You know, we always talk about get a sponsor, get a sponsor. But nobody really gives a lot of information of how to get a sponsor. And it can feel awkward. It's another one of those awkward and uncomfortable things of like, I'm just going to walk up to a human being that I don't maybe know that well and ask them to sponsor me. And it can feel a little overwhelming and it can feel a little awkward. And sometimes it can feel, you know, even it can bring up negative feelings if they're unable to sponsor you. You know, some people have too much on their plate, or they aren't at a place within their own step work that they're able to sponsor. But that doesn't mean that we don't continue asking. You know, sponsorship is so vital to the recovery journey that I always recommend find a sponsor as quickly as you can. We say in the rooms, you know, find somebody who has something that you want. And that sponsor that you start with doesn't mean that that's going to be your sponsor through your entire recovery journey. You know, when I first got clean, I was told to get a sponsor immediately, so I found somebody and he became my sponsor. And he was only a temporary sponsor. And you know, that's totally okay. That process worked for the time that it worked. And then I was able to move on to somebody who took me through my first round of the 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous. And then at that point, I had moved to another state. And so then I found a new sponsor. So when we're finding a sponsor, it doesn't mean we're signing a lifelong recovery contract with them. It doesn't mean that this is our choice for the future. It means that they are somebody who can help us right then in that moment, just for today. And sometimes, you know, that first sponsor might be your sponsor 30 years from now, or that sponsor might help get you set up within the program of Narcotics Anonymous recovery and start developing that recovery foundation. And then you might find that it's, you know, time to move to somebody that fits a little bit better. And that's totally okay. But there's so much fear around getting a sponsor or sometimes moving on from a sponsor that doesn't, you know, really need to be. A sponsor is a tool on our tool belt that is one of the most important things that we do in this recovery journey.
Yeah, the sponsor, you know, is so pivotal, especially with the step working process. But you know, revealing stuff about you that you may not see, you know, stuff that you're blind to. So obviously, when you pick a sponsor, you want it to be someone who, you know, has some qualities that they possess, some qualities that you would like to possess yourself, or they have something that you find desirable, but also somebody that you can trust because the step work process can be very intimate. And with that being said, you know, our recipe is coming along here. You know, we're going to move right into step work. Step work
Perfect.
is another important key ingredient to this recovery thing. So, what's your experience with working the steps?
No, and that was a great transition because that's actually where I wanted to discuss the topic of trust within your sponsor. So, you know, the program of Narcotics Anonymous is a 12-step program. And in Narcotics Anonymous, we work the 12 steps and we continue working the 12 steps and the traditions and the concepts. And the reason for that is because the 12-step model is, in my opinion, the most vital opportunity for growth for an addict in recovery. When I got to the program, I had no concept of what the 12 steps were. I read them and didn't like some of the words involved and didn't think it could work for me. But I did what my sponsor said, and that was to act as if. Because we can't think our way into a new way of action. We have to act our way into a new way of thinking. And the 12-step model is set up in such a perfect way, in this addict's opinion, to further peel back the layers of the onion as we go. You know, the our step or the steps within Narcotics Anonymous are a very in-depth process. They are a very emotional process. They are a very intimate process. And that's where having that relationship with your sponsor, having that trust, having developed that is very, very important, because we only get out of step work what we put in, is what I believe. I believe that whatever I put into my step work, I'm going to reap the benefits of it on the back end. But if I only put half effort into my steps, if I'm only half honest, if I'm only half willing, then I'm only going to get half of the results back. And the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous is so deeply just developed that there are things I learned about myself that were pointed out through my step work answers, that were pointed out by my sponsor. There were things I didn't know about myself. You know, the person that I was when I first came into recovery before having worked any steps is not the same person that I am today, having now worked through multiple rounds of steps. And again, this is a 12-step program. If we're not working the 12 steps, are we participating in the program? That's kind of how I look at it. Like, you can't bake the 12-step cake if you don't put the 12 steps in it, right?
That's
Like,
right. That's
I
right.
mean, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I think that the steps are like, one of, if not, the cornerstone of this process of
Yes.
recovery. You know what I mean? Because that's where the real change happens. I think for me, when I went into writing steps for the first time, I was thinking that I was going to get this like aha, boom, like, oh my goodness, everything's changed. And that's not the way it really worked for me. Like, luckily I stayed committed to the steps. Like my third step decision was to continue working the steps. I was having trouble with the whole higher power thing. And so, turning my will and my life over to the care of something greater than myself at that time was just making a commitment to continue working all 12 steps. And but what ended up happening was, after I did that and later on, it's like that saying, hindsight's 2020. You know what I mean? As I look in retrospect, those steps that I worked actually, made some changes inside of me. It brought some revelation, opened my eyes to some things, and it really set me on a different course. You know what I mean? Like a ship, if you turn that rudder slightly, you're on a whole new course, and that's
Right.
kind of what the steps did for me,
No, absolutely. And I think, one thing I want to point out, especially to somebody who might be listening to this and has never been to a meeting, and this whole thing of growing and changing sounds almost overwhelming. You know, maybe the thought that person's having is, I just don't want to use drugs today. So I want to point out that, don't feel overwhelmed by this process. Don't worry about what step eight says or what step four says or anything beyond that. The steps are in line for a reason. And I love that you mentioned within the third step and also touched on the second step, because I too, when I first came into recovery, I had no concept of a higher power. I had no concept of spirituality. So I didn't think the 12 steps could work for me. But because the steps are in the order that they are, I was able to start developing and changing and growing myself within that first step, within those first step questions, within, going to meetings, within developing this relationship with my sponsor. So I didn't have to worry about those things, farther down the line. So if you're new and you've never done anything like this, don't worry about the future. Let's just focus on today. And as we say, live just for today, because the steps are in line for a reason, and everything will be revealed as it's supposed to be revealed.
That's right, man. That's right. The steps are in order for a reason.
That part.
One thing that when you started talking about that, it reminded me, when I was incarcerated, I came in there, I decided to work a program, and obviously I like had all this regret, remorse, guilt, shame, call it whatever. And I immediately, my goal was to get to like step eight and nine so I could kind of fix some of that, or try to, restore some relationships, or make right some of the wrongs that I'd done because it'd been weighing on me so much. But there, I had no reason to, or there was no reason for me to be working step 8 and 9 when I hadn't worked step 1 through 7. You know what I
Exactly.
mean? I really had to get there, so I knew exactly what I was making amends for, who I owed amends to, and what I didn't owe amends for. So yeah, I think that's very important that you brought that up.
Yeah. I mean, and I get, the thought process of I just don't want to use today. That is a great place to start. That is the most important thing, is that desire to stop using. And go to those meetings and find a sponsor. And then once we start putting the pen to paper and working through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous through our step working guide, the change starts to happen without us even realizing it. And at some point in my experience, the shift changed from, wow, I just don't want to use today, to, wow, I want to be a better person. And it's been a couple 24 hours since my last use at this point. But I still want to keep doing my step work because I want to keep growing. I want to keep changing. I want to keep becoming a better version of myself. But again, that can only happen if I have the willingness to go to meetings, to get a sponsor, to develop that relationship with a sponsor, and then start working on step one. So don't future trip about the future possible growth things. Focus on today and go from there.
Perfect, perfect. All right, we're moving right along here. So the next ingredient, which is really, from my experience, it's been a big part of my recovery, and I know it's been a big part of your recovery too. And that's service work. And so there's all kinds of different kind of service work, but I'm interested to hear what service work has meant to you.
Absolutely. No, service to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous is without a doubt one of the most important parts of my life. As I said before, we can only keep what we have by giving it away. And one of the ways that I'm able to give it away is by being of service to this fellowship. And because we are all volunteers, because we are all just addicts in recovery, trying to help keep this beautiful vision of recovery active, there's a lot of stuff that we can do to help within the fellowship. And I know a lot of people, especially when they first get clean, same thing for me. I didn't have much to offer. I was unemployable. I was, unemployed, unemployable. I didn't have much of anything to offer. But at the end of the meeting, when they said, "Hey, can somebody empty out the coffee pot?" I immediately raised my hand, because in that moment, I felt useful. And even though I didn't have anything else to offer at that point, I was of value to the fellowship. And to this day, when I go back to the state that I got clean in and I go back to that meeting, whenever they ask at the end of the meeting, "Can anybody clean out the coffee pot?" I still to this day raise my hand because I feel so good about doing it. One of the most important things that we can do to get out of self is by being of service. The core of the disease of addiction is obsession, compulsion, and total self-centeredness. When I'm operating and doing something for another, whether it's a home group, whether it's another addict, whether it's an area, whether it's a region, zone, world, whatever level of service it is, if I'm being of service, I'm getting out of self. And I can't be operating from a self-centered perspective if I'm getting out of self. So by being of service, I am automatically getting further away from the disease of addiction. And service has been such an important thing within my recovery. Like I said, that first service commitment that I took was the coffee guy when I had, maybe 3 weeks clean. And I kept doing that. And then I became a greeter at a home group. So I was the person that stood out front and gave hugs before the meeting. And then from there, I started sharing meetings. And there were days, especially early on, that service commitment kept me clean, because those other addicts in that group had trusted me, with a key to that room. And that meant that I needed to be there to unlock that door so that a meeting could occur. And there were times that might have been the only reason that I went to a meeting that day that I didn't use, was because I knew that I needed to be there to open that door. And the beautiful thing about the fellowship and how vast it is that there are service opportunities for literally everyone. You know, there are certain people that maybe do better in certain service positions and certain that maybe don't do as well. I know I'm not great with numbers, so I'm probably not going to be a treasurer, but I know what my strengths are, and I'm also excited to learn more strengths. You know, one of the most beautiful parts of my recovery has been walking into a scary situation that I didn't think I could do simply because I was living in self-centered fear, and then developing that service, you know, into my life. And so I would highly recommend be of service to the fellowship. In my opinion, you know, it is a very important part to this recipe, and it is truly something that I am excited to do. You know, I look forward to being able to chair a meeting, or to upload a new podcast to the tablets, or to, you know, to do any of the things that we do is exciting to me. And no element of service is ever too small. So I would highly recommend that, you know, when you go to that meeting, especially if you're new and you raise your hand and say you're new, maybe afterwards ask somebody if, you know, can I help clean up? Can I do something? Can I be a greeter? Can I, because those things get us out of ourself and develop self-esteem. We develop self-esteem by doing esteemable acts. And sometimes that esteemable act is simply helping stack chairs, is simply helping make sure the room's set up or cleaned up. And that was something that was ingrained in my recovery from the earliest point, and still to this day is one of the most important parts of my recovery and one of the things I'm most excited about, because service gives me the opportunity to learn, to grow, and to become a productive member of society. Again, I get it. If you're brand new and you're like, I just don't want to use today, I don't care about being a productive member of society, I get it. But through this process, those other elements start to develop. And then we start to become, you know, the best versions of ourselves. I've learned so much from being of service to this fellowship that has trickled into my outside of NA life. You know, I've learned things that I had never known prior to becoming a member of Narcotics Anonymous that now I can apply in so many different areas of my personal life to this day.
All right. You know, from one thing that really sticks out for service to me is like, when we talk about, if you look at our literature and you talk about the disease of addiction, what is it? It's the obsession, the compulsion, and the self-centeredness. And the self-centeredness aspect of the disease of addiction is that spiritual aspect of the disease. So how do I get out of that self-centeredness? You know what I mean? How do I combat that? It's just like, is a character defect, like step six. What do we practice in its place? You know what I mean? And for me, that's always been service, to help me get out of that self-centeredness, that selfish way of thinking, that selfish way of behaving, and doing something for somebody else. And so, yeah, that service has been a big part of my recovery. And for someone that's new to recovery, what I would say is service starts at the home group level a lot of the time, which will take us into our last ingredient.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Home group is one of the five ingredients that we recommend that you have. Shout out to the Journey Continues home group. Shout out to Step in Time. I know that's your home group.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your experience with home group and what it means to you.
Absolutely. So, you know, a home group is where we feel at home is the best way to describe it. You know, a home group is a meeting that we choose to be our central base of our recovery, if you will. You know, I go to tons of meetings all over the state, all over, you know, the area, the region, but my home group is where I feel most home. And it's the meeting that we commit to going to so that we can become a part of. You know, when we walk into a meeting at that's my home group, I know most of the people in that meeting, and immediately I have a sense of belonging. I have a sense of participation. I have a sense of value within that home group. And that is why it is part of our recipe here, because that's where, for me personally, I made first some of my initial connections within Narcotics Anonymous. You know, going to that meeting and making sure I was there whenever it met, and seeing the same faces, and those same faces seeing my face, and then being of service at that home group allowed me to start developing that foundation. I feel like, you know, we go to meetings and that's the bottom, the bottom of it. And then we strengthen that foundation by having a home group. And then within that home group, we become more of a part of. And as Ryan said, we can then start to be of service within that home group. You know, whether it's greeting, whether it's chairing a meeting, whether it's, you know, depending on the home group, there are a lot of different service positions. And it allows me to have a place that I 100% feel at home. And I mean, it's literally right in the name, you know, a home group. And it is the opportunity that, you know, we have to make a commitment to that specific group. Again, just because you have one home group doesn't mean that you won't change home groups, doesn't mean you can't go to other meetings. All it means is that that is the central base in this recovery journey, is how I look at it. You know, that is the place that when I walk into, I feel home. And as that grows, I'll say, you know, now at this point in my recovery, I feel home no matter what NA meeting I go to. But a home group is that first step within that. Because as we were talking about before within the meeting part, is it can be really overwhelming. And walking into a room of 30 people and you know, you don't know any of them over and over again can be scary. But if you have a home group and you walk into that meeting and you see the same faces and you get the same hugs, it allows us to grow. It allows us to walk through that uncomfortability, that fear, that feeling of not belonging into a place that we truly belong, you know, from that first moment. So getting a home group is super important. People will ask, well, how do you get a home group? Well, the best suggestion I would give is to go to a lot of different meetings and see the meeting that you vibe with the most. See the meeting that feels, you know, most like home to you. It might be a meeting really close to where you're living. It might be a meeting that's really far away. You know, there's a lot of different factors that have to be looked at within that element of choosing a home group. But having a home group really adds that additional level of accountability. You know, if I don't show up at my home group for a couple weeks, I'm gonna have a phone full of texts saying, "Hey man, you good?" And that adds that extra level of belonging. That adds that extra level of support. And home groups are where we celebrate our clean time. So that's always a lot of fun to get a room full of people that are there wanting to celebrate you because they've been there watching you on that journey at your home group. You know, it really is a beautiful thing. And a home group is very important to really develop that initial foundation, in my opinion.
Perfect. I think the word that stuck out to me, what you said, was accountability. A home group is a place that I'm accountable to. You know, if you said you don't show up for a couple of weeks, people are going to be asking, "Hey, where's Matthew?" They'll probably be calling you, sending you text messages or whatever. But definitely accountability. Well, with that being said, guys, you know that's the five ingredients to this recipe. You know, there's other stuff too. You know, you can always add some flavor to your recipe. You know, higher power. You know, 90 meetings in 90 days. That, you know, meditation, prayer, stuff like that. All that can add to the quality of your recovery as well. But we just kind of wanted to go over the basics with you guys. I want to thank Matthew for taking the time to come on here and share with us his experience with these topics. And you know, if you're listening to this recording right now, I just want to remind you guys, you know, we love you. You never have to use again, no matter what. Narcotics Anonymous is in the helping people change their lives. And so I know it's helped me change my life. I know it's helped Matthew change his life. And I fully believe that it can help you change your life too, if that's what you want. So thank you for listening. And with that, have a nice day.
If you would like to speak directly with a member of Narcotics Anonymous, please contact our phone line at 844-991-AA0. Again, that's 844-991-2962.